Shalom. Greetings to you from Messianic Ministry to Israel. Shalom. You're listening to Hear, O Israel, a radio ministry of Messianic Ministry to Israel. We are a mission board and sending agency since 1944, located here in Chattanooga, Tennessee, although our mission field is Israel. Our representatives living in Israel are dedicated to bringing the gospel, the Basora of Yeshua, back to where it came from, back to the Jewish people. And our Lord is opening doors. Myriad Jewish people are coming to faith in Yeshua. And the church, the congregation of Yeshua, those of us who are born again, those of us who are saved, are coming to know our Jewish roots. Join me as we open the divine library and see what our Lord has to say to us concerning Israel. Do you recognize these words? Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Reading the creation story in Genesis chapter 1, the reader is given a picture of a dark, ruined, and empty world, and out from that wreck, Elohim resurrected the land that was submerged underwater. This former flooding of the entire globe is what is called the Luciferian flood, not to be confused with the Noahic flood that happened 8 generations later from Adam in Genesis chapter 6. In the creation story of Genesis 1, God commanded, quote, "Let dry land appear," Genesis 1:9. Immediately following the resurrection story, in chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis, when Elohim had said everything was tov, or good, Adam, God's viceroy and monarch, whom God had created in his image, primeval, original, perfect, pristine, virgin, spotless, unspoiled, pure, unsullied, and sublime, exalted, heavenly, inspiring and excellent, he was tempted by the serpent, which we know, by the context of the narrative, had already fallen, and was in Eden, the garden in Eden, to challenge Elohim's word. The serpent had been allowed entry into Gan Eden, the arena for the spiritual contest, in accordance to God's messianic plan, designated and designed before the foundation of the world. From the pages of the Divine Library, we learn some things about the beginning of evil and its effect upon both the heavens and the earth, upon the heart of Adam and Hava, Adam and Eve, upon the garden, upon the earth, and we learned about the existence of the domain of dark and evil spirits. At some point in the beginning, the devil, who Yeshua said was a murderer and a thief, from the beginning in Yochanan chapter 8, verse 44, he was an anointed Keruv, a high guardian of God's creation, according to Ezekiel 28, 14 and 16. The cherubim were first in rank among the creatures that God created, and the name Lucifer is applied to this fallen chief angel, although the name does not appear, it does not exist in Hebrew, but is a translation from Hallel in the Latin Vulgate. So if you have an English Bible, the word Lucifer may be there, but it's not in the Hebrew and it's not in the Greek. It came from the Latin Vulgate. The prophet Yeshayahu, or the prophet Isaiah, did not write about Lucifer, but he wrote about Hillel ben Shikar. Hillel ben Shikar means the son of the dawn, the son of the morning. The most common title for the devil in Holy Writ is Satan, or Satan, and in Hebrew it means adversary, and it occurs some 50 times in the Holy Scriptures. He's also called the serpent, the nakash, the snake, which is the very first reference to Satan in the Bible in Genesis chapter 3. He's called the great dragon in Revelation 12, the destroyer in Revelation 9, the evil one in 1 Yochanan chapter 5, the accuser of the brethren in the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation chapter 12, 10, the tempter in Matthew 4, and a liar and a deceiver in Yochanan 8:44. The prophet Yechezkel, or the prophet Ezekiel, tells us of the fall of Satan. He was created in perfection. He was full of wisdom. He was perfect in beauty, the ruler of Eden, the garden of God, clothed with precious stones, created to be a messianic or an anointed cherub, who was placed on the holy mountain of God, which is Zion, or Zion. He walked blameless until unrighteousness was found in him, and he was cast as profane from the mountain of God, from Zion. The mountain of Elohim is Zion. No wonder the devil retains a high regard for Yerushalayim, which was once his, for that is where Mount Zion is, Yerushalayim. Reading further into Yechezkel, Ezekiel 28, we discover why Hillel ben Shikar, why Satan, sinned. His heart was hoisted due to his beauty. We call that pride. That's in Yechezkel 28:17. And his pride corrupted his wisdom. Yechezkel 28:17. Elohim the Creator cast him to the ground. Yechezkel 28:17. He was put before kings, and then he was abandoned as profane and an unrighteous one. Yechezkel 28:18. He was consumed in power, and though he, the devil, may be a terror to us now in this life, to the human race, he's no more than that, according to Yechezkel 28, verse 19. There will come a day when all humanity will say, "This is the one?" Satan has power, but it's delegated power. Satan has a high position in the heavenlies, but his position as the devil is a delegated position. He's God's devil. He is absolutely nothing except by God's decree and God's allowance. Amen to that. The prophet Yeshayahu, the prophet Isaiah, gives a description of the beginning of Hillel ben Shikar, of Satan, whom we call Lucifer, describing his fall. He had fallen from heaven, Yeshayahu 14:12. He was the star of the morning and the son of the dawn, and he was cut down to the earth because he said to himself these five things. I will make Aliyah. I will make Aliyah to heaven. I will make Aliyah my throne above the Kokav of God, above the stars of God. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the recesses of the north, I will make Aliyah above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. The prophet Yeshayahu, the prophet Isaiah, continues describing HaSatan, the Satan, the adversary, who was full of himself, that's for sure. And he was thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit, or the abyss, according to Yeshayahu 14:15. And those who see this creature, Yeshayahu says, will gaze and we will ponder. Let me read for you what the good Nevi, the good prophet Yeshayahu says in Isaiah 14:16-21. Is this the man who made the earth tremble? Him? The one who shook kingdoms? Who made the world like a wilderness? Who overthrew its cities? Who did not allow captives to return home? Is this the man? Hazeh Ha'ish? This is him? A paraphrase might be also something like this. This is the devil? Yeshua described the fall of Satan, the fall of the devil, as recorded in Lucas 10:18. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. The B'nai Elohim, or the sons of God, the sons of Elohim, were beings that were made in the beginning as well. And these are B'nai Elohim, are beings now in the dark domain. Moshe, the author of the Torah, or the Pentateuch in Greek, wrote that B'nai Elohim, or the sons of God, saw B'not Adam, or the daughters of Adam, that they, the women, were good. And the B'nai Elohim, the sons of God, took them. The Hebrew language suggests it was by force. That is, as they desired them, they took them. Genesis 6, 1, 2, and 3. Who were these B'nai Elohim, or sons of God? The godly line of Seth? Dynastic rulers? Ancient kings? Were they Sethites, the sons of Seth? But Seth was one of the good guys, and only eight were saved from the judgment of God. The Hebrew B'nai Elohim, translated sons of God, occurs in only three places other than Genesis 6. And in every place it occurs, the meaning is angels. The second occurrence is Job 1:6. I'll read it for us. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before Jehovah, and Satan came among them. The context of Job 1:6 is the angelic realm who were reporting to Elohim for an accounting. B'nai Elohim, or the sons of God, occurs for the third time in Job 2:1. I'll read it. Again, there was a day when the B'nai Elohim, the sons of God, came to present themselves before Jehovah, and Satan also came among them to present himself before Jehovah. The sons of God and Satan had come before Jehovah to give an account of their, quote, roaming the earth, walking around in it. This reinforces the truth that Satan is not now, nor has he ever been, confined in hell, or Hades, or the Old Testament Sheol. These B'nai Elohim, these sons of God, with Satan, appear before the Creator to give a report, and we assume an explanation of their work of defilement and devilment. The next occurrence of B'nai Elohim, or sons of God, is Job 38:7, which greatly helps us have a biblical understanding of who the sons of God are. For we learn that they were present when Elohim created the galaxies, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God, all the B'nai Elohim, shouted for joy. That's Job 38:7. More credible help to determine the meaning of B'nai Elohim comes from the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible by 70 Jewish academics. These Hebrew and Greek scholars translated the Hebrew B'nai Elohim to a single Greek word, angelios, or angels. They translated the Hebrew word Nephilim in Genesis 6:4 to gigantes, or titans, who were mythological gods, part human and part God. The renowned Jewish historian Flavius Josephus wrote the following: many angels accompanied with women birth sons unjust. The Greek historian Eusebius said these sons of God were gods of Greek mythology. It appears that those closer to the event saw an amalgamation of angelic fallen beings with the Benot Adam, or the daughters of Adam. Those closer to the event recorded in Genesis 6, the Jewish academics, Jewish historians, and Jewish translators interpreted the text of Genesis 6 to mean angels cohabiting with human women. This is much more credible than modern scholarship, which is removed from the event, removed from the original Hebrew text, and biased in their regards to the Septuagint, and more so from Jewish histories. The context of the flood that destroyed the earth in Noah's day was dual in cause. The first cause was an amalgamation of the B'nai Elohim, or an amalgamation of the sons of God defined in the Holy Scriptures as angels, with the Benot Adam, or the daughters of Adam, Adam being the monarch made in God's image, who was to produce a seed, a champion of humans to crush the serpent's head, in Genesis 3:15. The secondary cause of the flood was the wickedness of the human race with imaginations that were continually evil, Genesis 6, 5 and 6. Angels have many times in antiquity taken human form, and have appeared, spoken, eaten, and moved about the earth as men. Some angels were mistaken for men and looked upon for homosexual relations by the Sodomite community of Sodom and Gomorrah. To further help our understanding of the cohabitation of angels with human women is the record of the outcome of their bizarre union. Nephilim, or fallen ones, quote, were on the earth when the B'nai Elohim came into the Benot Adam. The sons of God came into the daughters of Adam. Nephilim is translated in the Greek Septuagint as gigantes or titans or giants. Bible researchers, professors, doctors, intellectuals, scholars, and specialists have dovetailed Jude 6 and 7 and 2 Peter 2, 4, and 5 with these sons of God who intermarried with the daughters of Adam, an abominable, blasphemous, and unforgivable sin. Kepha, or Peter, and Yehuda, or Judah, both describe the unusual and forbidden sexual sin caused by angels who left their domain, or they left their realm, and crossed over to initiate a perversion so ungodly that this sin would forever exile them not only from re-entry to heaven, as the Book of Enoch affirms, but also prohibits them from walking and roaming the earth or inhabiting the lower heaven or the atmosphere or the right to possess bodies of humans to fulfill their lust as demonic beings can do, as all other dark and evil spirits, demons, and the devil are allowed to do. Rather, their sin was so abysmal they were cast into the lowest hell, into Tartarus, bound in chains of darkness under the earth, where they remain until this day. And we must note that Kepha's inspired text, 2 Peter 2, 4, and 5, have these angels and their sin in context with the days of Noah. The prophet Daniel wrote concerning his vision of an angelic appearance, one sent as an answer to his prayer, although the angel was hindered by the prince of Persia for 21 days, until Michael, or Michael, the archangel, came to help him. Daniel also scribed for us concerning another prince, the prince of Greece, who was to come following the prince of Persia. Rabbinic Judaism, which by the way is not biblical Judaism, potently influenced by ancient Babylonian religion, classifies three kinds of demonic spirits: the Shadim, or devils, the Mazakim, or the harmers, who harm all things that are good, and the Ruhin. The Ruhin are evil spirits, and according to tradition, the fall of Satan, the fall of Satan, the leader of all evil beings, happened after Genesis 1:1, after creation, but perhaps and probable before Genesis 1:2. In this group of evil beings, there's another one, or another group. They're called Sater. Sater means hairy ones. These were demons worshipped through the he-goat-shaped idols. Sometimes this term is translated hairy male demon, and you can find that in 2 Chronicles 11:15. Israel did worship Saters in the wilderness. Leviticus 17:7 tells us so. And there were two Saters who were given names: Azazel, the demon spirit of the desert, to which the Yom Kippur sacrificial goat was sent on Yom Kippur, and the other was Lila, the night hag, which is the queen demon, is spoken of by the prophet Yeshayahu, the prophet Isaiah. The King James translates her name as screech owl due to the context of the desert creatures, but the Jewish Hebraic tradition interprets the word to mean night spectator, and thus she is thought to be a night demon, a well-dressed woman who at night carries off children or those who sleep alone in order to harm them. Now, that's nonsense for believers, amen? But for those who are unbelieving, who's to know that these kind of spirit beings haunt you in your evil sins? The Jewish thought holds that evil spirit beings can be male or female, although the Holy Scriptures seem to suggest that they are sexless. The response is that gender is only associated with the physiological relationship of the cadaver, that is, the bodies we live in, and the soul, our minds, emotions, and will. Evil spirits may have, at one time, been beings on the earth and have retained their gender desires, or their gender preferences, or their gender passions. And then the Bible speaks finally of Abaddon and Apollyon and the locusts from hell. And we'll talk about them in our next time together on Hear, O Israel. All of this is in my book, The Feast of First Fruits. He arose a victor from the dark domain. And you can get a copy of my book by calling 423-855-4818, or you can go to Amazon.com and type in my last name, Lisemby, L-I-S-E-M-B-Y. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
This program is a production of Messianic Ministry to Israel. If you are blessed by the biblical content we share each week, would you please consider giving a gift of support to our mission board? Messianic Ministry to Israel is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, and your gift will help cover the necessary expenses associated with this broadcast and help keep our program on the air. You can give securely at our website, www.mmisrael.org, or you may call 423-855-4818. That's 423-855-4818. Also, would you let us know that you listen to our program each week? That would be very encouraging to us. Thank you very much for praying for Messianic Ministry to Israel, and thank you for your generous gift of support. Shalom Bayit. Peace to your house.
Thank you for listening to Messianic Ministry to Israel, a mission board since 1944. Learn more about our ministry at mmisrael.org.